If you're ever in Long Beach, California, you'll want to make a point of visiting Pigeon's Roller Skate Shop. Their years of expertise in everything from derby, dance, and park skating has their store stocked with gear and accessories for whatever you're into. And if something on the shelf doesn't really tickle your fancy, consider having them make you a custom build. Once all geared up, you're going to want to hit up the newly established Pigeon's Roller Skate Rink, right on the beach. To say Pigeon is living a roller skater's dream may be a bit of an understatement, and we are incredibly excited to have her here today to share their story and share in their passion of what they have chosen to make a reality of their everyday life. And without further ado, Pigeon, welcome to Obsessions of a Roller Skater.
Thanks for having me. Super stoked to be here.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. I know Addie's been like texting me all day, like, I'm so excited for tonight.
Yes. cool.
So thank you for coming on.
Of course.
And have you been getting to have lots of skating go on in life at the moment? I know sometimes being a store owner, that's the that is what people think happens all the time, but maybe not.
Yeah, no, you're kind of right there. There is not as much skating as there used to be back in the day. So, but luckily at the roller rink, which I do spend some shifts working just to stay active, I get to skate a lot at the rink. So pretty lucky there. But as far as like roller derby, not doing derby right now. I have a derby league. I'm not sure if you guys know. It's called Beach Cities Roller Derby. And it's currently on hiatus, so that's on pause. And then outdoor skating, we do rollouts every other week, so I get to participate that way. But other than that, I'm not really kind of out on my own the way I used to be.
Well, luckily you guys always have the weather for it. So anytime the inspiration strikes, you probably can get out and get after it if you'd like.
Totally. That's really what's lovely about LA, Long Beach, you know, and kind of a big part of why a lot of this has popped off the way it has, you know, it's the weather.
Yeah. So prior to opening up Pigeon Skate Shop, you were actually a science teacher. And can you explain what inspired you to leave that behind and open up a skate shop?
Love science. I studied science in college and wanted to be a researcher, but turns out there was not a lot of funding. So teaching was actually a backup plan. It was a good option where I could stay in science and have a job. So I graduated college in the 2008 recession.
Woo!
So, to take the opportunities that came your way, right? As people still do now. But, yeah, I loved that, but it wasn't like something I wanted to do my whole life. Like all of my teaching cohort, they were all like passionate about teaching and I was just passionate about science. So, but I was also passionate about roller skating. And during my first year of teaching science to seventh graders, which was awesome, I started my own derby league. So I was teaching in the day and doing derby at night, and I was actually doing school in the middle. So school after school, which is what you have to do as a new teacher. You have to still go to school for a couple years. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. But anywho, yeah. So I was kind of had a dual life, you know, and like a lot of people who play roller derby do, you know, you are some thing in the day and then you come and you are your derby at night. And but I just so happened to be the person in charge of that. So it kind of was a bigger deal for me and it was kind of consuming everything. I know y'all know about this.
Yes.
That happens.
Cause it's a whole second full-time job that you do not get paid for except enjoy.
The best club ever. Literally, yeah. You know, a lot of opportunities happen in roller skating and I'm kind of an opportunist. So, at the time I was already, sponsored by the Moxie skate team and I was already back in Long Beach teaching. And so it kind of just worked out to where I ended up leaving my teaching job and I purchased the Moxie skate shop back in 2013. So that was just over 10 years ago. And
congratulations. That's a long time standing. It's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. And it was kind of all magical the way it happened, you know, because we all had started through roller derby and some people started to go outside and those people started connecting and sort of made this movement. And yeah, I kind of just saw the opportunity and knew that it was a movement that I was for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I took the leap, left my career, my nice, stable, fun teaching career, for skating full time. And that was definitely a challenge. You know, I don't know what, like when you want to talk about challenges of owning a business, but you know, I had no experience. That is the main challenge. I had no experience. I went, you know, I was like studying plants and animals and in my microscope. And then, you know, now it's like, you know, all sorts of paperwork and laws.
What would you say is like one of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome to feel confident in opening that shop? Because that is a lot of research that has to be done.
Well, I think one of the parts of being a leader, you know, and when you like run a business or start a roller derby league, start a business, buy a business, if you're in charge of anything, you're a leader, you know. But something that's like a really good attribute about a leader is that they're brave, right? It's just how it is. You have to be brave. It leads to so much positivity in your leadership. And so just was brave enough, you know? So the passion's there, right? We know the passion's there. And then taking that leap. And you have to be brave because the risk is extreme, you know? Like you're leaving a job and things don't always work out.
Yeah. You hear that a lot about like entrepreneurs, you know, if you listen to other people who own businesses, there's that leap of faith where you're like on the edge of like, okay, either I like push forward and just whatever happens happens, or I pull back now and just stick to what's comfortable. And I mean, that's when growth happens, right? Is when we push through the discomfort and just take the leap of faith and, you know, don't be afraid of falling and, or you're more excited to do the thing than you are to fail. So why not just go for it? That's amazing. Yeah,
that's it. And it like, I feel like if it's kind of meant to be, you know, it comes naturally, or I'm not necessarily comes naturally, but like I've been asked, actually, it was just a couple of days ago. I don't know if you guys know who Katie Porter is. She's like a politician.
I do not. I'm Canadian, so it would probably be way out of my warehouse.
Oh, gosh. She asked if I had more than one business. And I said, yeah, I have Roller Derby League, the shop, and the rink. And she's like, oh, we call those serial entrepreneurs. You must be like really like this and that and this and that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like those are the things that like I kind of have, you know. I always thought those were great leadership skills, but it turns out like it can translate to business, you know, and roller skating and this community, it's like a catalyst for starting things. You know what I mean? Like literally, that's what I love about the skate community. It really is like you could come and do so much. You can come and be a skate artist. You can come and start a skate business. You could start a skate club, a skate charity, you know, a skate rink, a skate event, like all sorts of things. I love it.
Yeah, it's definitely still, even though it's been around for so long, it's still very niche. It's still, there's not a ton of stuff happening. So every time there is something, I think within the community, it feels like such a big deal to us because it's like not just another big name brand or big name sport doing XYZ. It's just, it just all feels new. It feels, and grassroots, and it feels DIY, and it feels very, the passion just really shows through, right? When a lot of skaters take on something because it is their passion project. And then if they're fortunate enough to turn it into a business model, then fantastic. But it definitely starts as like a very deep, deep passion and then grows into whatever they create it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why you find so many smaller skate businesses, even ones that have been around for 30, 40 years, they are all skater owned, family owned, you know, it's always kind of been, and the roller rinks too, you know, they're all kind of family owned, you know, it's like it's, someone was inspired and did it. I mean, that's how kind of anything happens, but it's nice to see in the skating community, and even here in LA, like there's shops here that have been open since the 70s, you know, and it's like same family running it.
Yeah. And speaking of the roller skate community, right? That's what it's all about. And it seems to be ever changing. So we kind of had like our boom in derby. Then we saw dance skating regain interest in other types of communities. Then park skating started to get big. And now we're seeing movement into lots of street skating styles. So how would you say that Pigeons Roller Skate Shop is keeping up with these changes and staying relevant?
Well, I would say that, I mean, a lot of all of our staff are skaters, so it doesn't really feel like we have to keep up with anything. All of us kind of skate everywhere. We have a lot of street skaters, rink skaters, and derby skaters. But diversity of employment really helps. So, you know, if we have no one that plays roller derby that works in the skate shop, it'd be ideal to find someone that plays roller derby and has that experience. Because I can't always be there all the time. And the staff don't all do every avenue of skating. But yeah, just, I don't know. And we're kind of just staying kind of authentic to ourselves. You know, we're not trying to be anything we aren't, you know? So while we have opened a outdoor indoor roller rink with a concrete floor, you know, it's definitely not a traditional wood style skating floor, you know? And while we do skate with inliners, we don't really carry that stuff because we're so close to other shops who do specialize in that stuff. We don't try to stay relevant. I feel like if we are, we are. And if we're not, we probably don't even know it.
Okay.
It's hard though, but like just to put a point to what you're saying, and geez, I have my glasses on, my jacket. I'm not outside. Just the point of what you're saying, there is a lot of diversity in the skate community. And it, as a retailer, it's really hard to have something for everybody. And especially since the skate boom, like all the companies like totally diversified and came out with so many different models and everyone kind of started copying each other, but just a little bit different. And, you know, someone wants this particular thing, but like not this brand. They want it to be a different brand. It's like, oh, we have this, but just the brand you don't like, you know? So that is, it's a challenge to, I guess, cater to all types of customers, you know, and that's okay, you know? And I would say it's okay that not all people can shop at Pigeons for very specialized things. Like, for example, we can't get roll line. And like there's certain restrictions to accounts and like locations. So like we can't get a Vans account or can't get Bones Wheels accounts, just location wise. But staying also kind of on top of things, I guess, would, I guess the answer is just kind of staying on top.
Going off of that, like I was kind of curious, how do you as a business owner keep track of all of these side businesses that you do? I mean, you have staff, but like, are you like, okay, these few months I'm going to focus right over here and then I'm going to focus here, because you also have a family at home. So that has to be like so overwhelming. I mean, for me, that'd be overwhelming. For you, it's probably a piece of cake. to like, you know, put all that effort to those businesses. So I was kind of curious, how do you go about giving time and your energy to each of these awesome establishments that you've made?
Great question. It is very challenging. it is, though it's rewarding. Okay. So like, I'm not saying that, I'm not grateful, because I'm like so grateful for the positions that I have. But it is extremely challenging. And this year, last year, the challenges kind of started showing up as anxiety. I started having anxiety and being like, okay, like I've been going at fast pace for so long. You know, I gotta start organizing it a little bit better. So, really, relying on managers, structuring the business in a way where, you know, the roller rink has a rink manager, the shop has a shop manager, the warehouse has a warehouse manager. And then I have a general manager who oversees all of those managers. And then I manage that general manager. It's the stuff that I didn't know about when I left teaching. We're like, we have to do this roller skate shop stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
You're like, I'm just going to fit people for skates and cash them out and send them on their way for the day. And
oh my God. I mean, it was that at the beginning, really. It was like me in the shop, and that was fun. but it is extremely challenging. And just to be totally candid too, I'm actually in the middle of a divorce, which is a result of trying to juggle all of these things and also a difference in opinion. You know, as much as, you know, I love my daughter's father. We are like really good friends, but he was not interested in the entrepreneur life anymore once we started a family. And he didn't know that until we started a family, and he kind of wanted it all to go away and us to start new. And for me, that's not going to happen. And, you know, years of trying to make that work, you know, that's also something to juggle. Like when you're juggling so many things and you have people in your life, you know, they have to be down for it. You know, they have to be down knowing that like Pigeon has, well, my name's Shayna, so at home, Shayna has a lot going on, you know? And so, there needs to be support in the right ways. Like we all kind of have to be on our A game, you know, and that puts a lot of stress on certain people. So, if that doesn't really work for somebody, like as a manager, then like they end up really not succeeding in the position, you know? So that's, I guess, in the end, the way that I make it all work is that I have mediocrely high standards and I provide a good environment so that people can thrive in their responsibilities and take ownership and feel empowered and run it themselves, you know? So we all are kind of like doing our thing independently. Because if I have to dabble everywhere and fix all these things, like it doesn't work. That's too much, you know? So finding a really good team, that's like, I guess in the end, because the team extends from the home life to the business life and back, having a solid team is imperative. It's just so important.
And you do have a really great team, I have to say. I like, anytime I buy from you guys, I'm the person that emails you back and forth. I'm like, I have a bajillion questions, and they will like stick with me for like 2 weeks straight and make sure every little detail is like right there. And they're so nice compared to other places I've gone to. I gotta say, you guys are, it's great.
Yeah, honestly. A lot. Like the culture really matters. Like the work culture really matters. And I'm not going to say that it was perfect all the time, because there was a time when we exploded in popularity. And then, you know, like the boom ended too. And like, there's so much that happened in that time of growth that like, sometimes the team was rocky and it's stressful for everybody, you know, and other times the team is solid. And I've like, these last 2 years have been so good. Like my team's really great, even though, you know, we have shrunken a little bit because of the economy. It's just kind of where things are at with business. But like the team I have right now is just like really like amazing. It's allowing me to run the business in the way I need to run the business and to handle my personal life and move on to the next stage in my personal life.
I really commend you for being able to make that decision for yourself and make that decision for your family and your needs, and to really hold true to what it is that you want to do and you need to do and you're driven to do. Because, yeah, it's easy for people to maybe not, or backpedal, or take a different route and give up what they've been working on for so long. So I just want to say, like, I really commend you for doing what you're doing. And I know that cannot be easy, on the personal side of things, what you're going through, but it sounds like you've set yourself up in a good way and you have the support you need at work, and hopefully you've got the support you need from your friends and family at home as well to keep trucking forward and doing your thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. My best friend lives with me.
Oh yeah, perfect.
My boyfriend too. So we're like, and they're just the best. Like they know, they're like perfect. We're all perfect fits. I'm like in a really good place, really happy. I felt like, unfortunate as everything was and how hard it was, I'm like, all that hardship had to lead to why everything is so good now, you know, like things go in waves, you know? And
I think that's a really interesting thing for like kind of the younger than our parent type generations as well. Just really realizing how to recognize those periods and time frames of our life and realizing that, you know, endings aren't always a bad thing. It's the beginning to something more beautiful, and it was a part of our journey. It was a part of our life, and now we're here and we can accept that and be happy for everyone and move on. And I think that's really excellent. I'm glad that you've been able to find your people and continue on to push through and just keep doing what you're so passionate about. It just really, it comes through. It just comes through. And I'm so glad that you're sticking with it and able to continue to grow.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll just read off the question. In 2021, you opened an indoor skate rink on the beach. How has that been for you? What has been the most exciting part of that? And is there anything you would have done differently if you had to do it again?
Well, that has been a really cool opportunity, this roller rink. You know, I found the space because I was looking for a venue for my roller derby league so we could come out of hiatus from COVID. And it was just slightly too small for roller derby. But I thought, oh man, like COVID had made roller skating blow up in 2020. There's all these new roller skaters and people actually don't really have a place to skate. Like basketball courts where people used to roller skate, the hoops were put back up. So now it was for basketball, you know? I think a lot of people started skating on basketball courts, but that was no longer available. So I took this as an opportunity. And originally, the plan was for us to be there for Easter weekend in 2021, just 2 days. And I was like, listen, you guys want us there a lot longer, trust me. And they're like, okay, then let's do this summer thing. We'll be open in the summer. And then once we started doing the paperwork, corporate stuff sucks. This has been like my first experience with corporate stuff. Like the outdoor mall is owned by billionaires overseas and like huge firms. And so there's like 11 owners and all these layers of management and all of this paperwork. So we'd have a 65-page operations manual and like all of this restrictions, and oh gosh, it was just a lot. So that was cool, learning how to deal with corporate BS, you know, where, because before, like, I made all my own rules pretty much, besides what the state and the federal government made me do, you know. But corporations, it's like they make the rules and they have it strict and they have all of these guidelines and all this stuff. So that was a challenge, so much so that the negotiations took forever. You know, they thought we were going to come in and have fights and graffiti everywhere and steal stuff. And it's like, listen, that's not what we're going to do.
You're like, we're going to put fluffy pom-poms and light up wheels on and skate to disco music.
We're going to dip backwards. Okay.
Yeah.
So after all of the negotiations and the paperwork finally getting approved, it ended up being September. So summer was over and they're like, all right, well, let's open for holiday, you know, as a 3-month thing and you'll close December 31st. And I was just like, oh my God, what an opportunity. Just grateful for any opportunity. I would have been fine for Easter weekend. I was just telling them they needed us there longer, you know? But so we ended up opening those 3 months and that was just amazing. And we went out, we opened like a full established rink, you know? And I think while that didn't end up working out, we had like all these positions, all these people working. And then like after 2 months, we're like, okay, we literally need half of these people here. And like during the day on a Tuesday and when everyone's at work, no one's coming in, but we have to be open. So, you know, we made all these adjustments, but it was really cool opening with a bang, you know, being like, we're going to do it just like how all rinks do it. As far as operations, not aesthetic. But yeah, so that was really cool. And then we got extended and that was amazing news. That was fabulous. There was going to be 12 people who got to keep their jobs and a community of people who can have a place to do the thing they like to do. And so, I would say the biggest challenge is just kind of creeping on that. You know, we didn't open being like, we're going to be here for 2.5 years. There's a lot I would have done different if I knew we were going to be there for 2.5 years, but we are still on this kind of like, yeah, you're just there for like another like 90 days, you know, or like, let's just say you're there until we want to kick you out. When we do, we're going to give you, you know, 90 days. And I get it because it's a huge venue and it wasn't meant for roller skating. It was meant for an Apple store and Apple backed out. So it's kind of like really cool because we're kind of making it up as we go, but it's not cool because we have to make it up as we go. I really like to have a plan ahead. So it's a little of like super grateful, but everything I'm so grateful for is kind of the challenge.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. And I know you had mentioned that there's like so much more red tape that you have to go through when it ends up being something corporate. And I can definitely empathize with that as I'm trying to get a space in the town I live in for skating right now too. And all of a sudden we're dealing with like the city and like the RDCK, which is like the recreational people. And there's just so much like red tape and like rules that go along with it. And you're like, oh, this is so not roller skating, but, but I'm lucky to be working with people who know that jargon like way better than I do. I'm like, I will work on currently what is happening right now and teaching derby and like doing pop-ups and hauling all the skates I have around for people to use. But yeah, I can empathize with what that means, having the red tape.
Are they trying to write you up on a ticket for like skating in a park that they don't want you to skate in?
Oh, no, they haven't. Just for development, we're working with the city, like to find a space to skate. We don't have many spaces available to do things, but just we need a floor inside. So, but anyways, yeah, just trying to say the corporate world stuff kind of sucks. And like you said, it, you know, you could be out at any moment. So I guess that kind of keeps the sense of urgency in the community to show up for the events though, because they never know when it might be the last.
That's true. Yeah. And it's kind of like, everyone's experiencing it with us because everyone who skates at the rink regularly kind of knows, you know, we kind of had like a, all right, this is it party around Christmas of the first year. And then later that night we got the call that we get extended. And so it has been this odd thing that we're all kind of doing. But that, like you said, is creating this urgency to participate and to find something new. Like this is going to close. So we need to find something before it closes or at least be in the works, you know?
Did you have something, Addie? You look like you want to say something.
Let's see. I wanted to ask you on probably just an easier side question. What are like some of your top products that you offer at your shops? What's something that you recommend for people that they might not foresee like right in front of them? Just some of your favorite picks.
Well, I think we're super well known for making the custom skates. You know, we are really creative and we're down to try. We've had some super wacky constructions. You know, I have my own jelly heel skates. I have Birkenstock skates and they're fun. They're usable, you know? And, I got a friend with Croc skates, flip-flop skates. high heel skates, cowboy boot skates. So we have that side where we create things that are not already out there. And that's super fun, you know, and all the customizations that we offer.
They're always a good highlight. Whenever I see them on Instagram, I'm like, how is that possible? Oh my gosh, I want a pair of those, even though I never wear. I think someone did like cowboy boots or something like that. I was like, that's so awesome. I don't wear cowboy boots.
Yeah, and we created, I think a few different shops created different systems to be able to mount like Doc Martens, because you can't do it the same way you do normal shoes, you know? And so that's been, people are getting really creative with that too. It's been a lot of fun.
And when they're doing the custom mounts, have you guys taken on somebody that it has experience with like boot work, shoe work type of idea? Or are they literally just like praying to the roller skate gods and like flying by the seat of their pants that the execution is going to work properly based on what they're given to mount? Is there like a disclaimer when you get a custom pair? Like, these might fall, these might fold. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, we've had a few different mounters throughout the years, but throughout the existence, we had a head mounter. So, and he is very paranoid on messing things up. So the, all of our mounters will consult him and he'll be, you know, that kind of helps, you know? And so if there's any sort of a doubt, you know, we kind of go back and forth with the customer and be like, hey, you know, but other, we've done so many different kinds that when we see something that looks funky, it's like we've done it before. I mean, if there's like certain mounting methods you would use depending on the shoe style, you know? And so if you see like, oh, that's this kind of material and height, you know, it's like, easy to be a success. But like, if you have like a high heel skate, there's like a difference between a hollow heel and a solid heel, you know? So, yeah.
I mean, I'm paranoid just drilling through my like skate boots that are like meant to be mounted.
Yeah.
I would be so nervous trying to make something unique like that, but that's excellent. That's really amazing. And definitely brings a touch of something unique and different to your shop, you know, that not everybody is offering. Because as a brick and mortar, I mean, that's definitely, you know, the online world is vast for retail. But as a brick and mortar, if you can kind of hone in on something specialized, then that mm-hmm. definitely is exciting for your community and for people to reach out and get yeah. something fun done.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything new and upcoming, like, that you can, like, give us a little, like, hint of? Or are you guys just hanging out on the back burner?
I don't know.
I'll be the one that opens that window.
I don't want to jinx it, but we were on the topic of roller rinks, right? So, you know, that's one of the businesses. And it's, you know, it's closing. So there is a sense of urgency to open a new one. And there are some things in the works where we would have something as lovely as what people would expect of a roller rink. So I can't say anything. And because it's, I don't have the keys. But if it was going to happen, it would be absolutely fabulous. And it is in the works. So, but you know, I like parking and yeah. I like, I'm picky. So like, if I'm gonna have my perfect roller rink, it's going to be like this, you know? So, you know, one of the biggest challenges is parking out here in Los Angeles. So that's the biggest thing we've come across as far as getting venues and permitting and city stuff, you know, the city stuff you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a bitch, but no. Well, we're excited to get a little tidbit, and I think here we are all about calling in the good stuff and calling in the energy that needs to be to help you along the way with that. So, no jinxing. Yeah. It's just good positive energy bringing your way. And
yeah, I think everyone kind of assumed I was going to try and open something once this one that we knew was going to close closes. So kind of still on that path.
I'm excited. Yeah. I can say that when I come to California, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I wanted to ask you, being so exposed as a business owner these days, sometimes like controversy and like misunderstandings kind of arise within the community. Is there anything you can speak to that maybe Pigeon Skate Shop has had to deal with as a business owner, and how you handled accountability for it, and how you remain revered within the skate community through that?
I would say that our community is no different than any other community. You know, every community that has passion, right? And, you know, every community has drama, there's scandal, there's lies, there's jealousy, there's backstabbing, there's splits, and there's all sorts of raw emotion. You know, because it's people's passions. And I think, you know, as industry folk who were involved in the drama, I would say, you know, a lot of it has to do with the shift. This is what I've really kind of reflected on, is like, there's a shift when you have a club, you know, and everything's a club, like roller derby's a club, the Moxie Skate Team was a club, you know, like all your friends are a club, you're doing all these things that are clubs. And then all of a sudden it shifts to a business, and now your friends are working for you in your business, and it's not a club, and it's like real life stuff, and it's the law, and it's business, and it's paperwork, and it's just a different world than a club. And that transition was really hard for a lot of people. I think that's what brought out a lot of the public scandals and whatnot, was the shift. And I think a lot of people weren't really ready to take things seriously. And as someone who has, I mean, I've always been like the leader of the crew, you know, as far as like growing up playing sports, I was JV captain, varsity captain, I was sophomore class president, I was club presidents and all this stuff, because I enjoyed participating in the direction of leadership. But like, if you're a good leader, you're ready for it to be serious. You're ready for the serious steps that need to be taken when things occur. And that's a big part of being a business owner. When you're a business owner, you can't really mix it with your club, you know? And we all kind of did that, you know? Like I said, we're no different in our community than any other community. And we're no different in our businesses. Like, you don't hire your friends, right?
Yeah.
But we all were friends, and we all worked for each other. And so we learned the hard way. We're like, we can do it. We're different. In the end, it's not the case. And it's just like, we literally could be in a rock tumbling community, and we have rock tumbling shops and rock tumbling teams, and the same outcomes would occur. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. It's like, this is like kind of how it is when you have friends working in a business, and there is a boss and employees, and in the workplace that you're not equals. But then when you're friends, you are equals. And those dynamics are really, really, really hard to manage, you know, especially like in hard times, you know, or when someone's not feeling very well or whatever. There's just, you got to be solid. You've got to be solid, and it's hard for people to stay solid. And like, I'm not holding it against anybody, but I feel like that has a lot to do with why I'm still around as a leader and still leading a team and positively making change and having a really great work environment and providing resources to the communities, because I was ready for the change. That's what I have to say about that.
No, I think that's really good. Like you said, you've been a leader your whole life. You've been at the forefront. I think that really shines through in the roller skate community. So I just really valued your opinion and your outlook on that type of side of things. There's, you know, a lot of people, like you said, now kind of turning passion projects into businesses, and they're bridging that gap now. So if there's any advice that you could give to somebody who is thinking about either opening up a shop with friends or starting something new within the skate community as like a fun little thing, but do see it taking it further. If there is something that you could kind of preface their experience with, is there anything that you could help guide them on their way into that mindset and kind of stay level-headed like you have?
Well, to the general person who's starting something, and I don't know all your weaknesses and strengths already, I would say to be humble, because no one is owed anything. Like, it's an honor to be in that position, you know, and being humble is important because you're going to fail. And you have to be accountable when you fail, stay confident when you fail, and be brave, you know? And so if you're not humble about it, there's no way that you're going to be able to also stay accountable and brave and confident. So, and that's also when you see things you don't like in people, their egos, you know, or they're getting too emotional. It's because, you know, they're not being humble, you know, like, I'm just a normal person too, you know, just a regular everyday person. Like, I cry like all the time, like, you know, like, it's like, and I struggle, and I have the same things that everyone does, being like, oh, I don't want to go to work today, you know, like, this is so hard. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, oh my gosh, like, there's a gift given when you agree to become someone who is a leader, you know, like, and there's also a weight with that, you know? So, you know, the gift is you have your creative freedom, sort of, right? Like, I could bring my kid to work if I need to. If I wanted to do an event, we can go that way. Like, we kind of are making it up as we go. That's the cool thing about the skate community and like working for a skate shop. But at the same time, you are responsible for everything, and your obligations are massive. And so, yeah, just back to it, staying humble, you know, and knowing that mistakes are supposed to be made and it's supposed to be hard, and there are great rewards often. So
that's great advice. Yeah. And anybody who's worked in a workplace, I currently, my job is like the most friend-based employee situation I've ever been a part of. And I luckily just kind of have my little own corner that I don't co-mingle too much with that, but I see it going around me, and I got to give it up to the people at my work handling things very well, because you see those friendships and the business side of things breach each other, and you're like, oh gosh, and then people get so frustrated with each other, but then they like sit down and have the serious business conversation, and then they like high five after and like go get beers later or something. So
yeah, that's a solid
it's a fine line, and like you said, it exists everywhere, so just be prepared for it. Yeah
I mean, like, as a business owner, if you're gonna risk doing something with your friend, because I mean, a lot of people do start things as a partnership with a friend or hire their friend as general manager, like, be prepared to lose your friends, because it's real. Like, I've lost all of my skate homies, and I now have boundaries where it's like, I love my employees. I think they're some of the coolest people, but I stop myself, you know, from trying to be their friend. And also, like, who wants to be a friend with their boss? You know, it's like,
yeah.
You were friends before you worked for me, maybe, but like, I'm over here like, why didn't you invite me to the party, guys? You know, but it's like, yeah. Oh, well, because you're the boss and we're talking shit about you. So like, let us have our like moment, you know? Not saying they talk shit, but it's like, as a boss, you got to know, like, the obligations you have also is taking the grief of just life. You know, you're responsible for people, you're someone's authority, and they're not going to like everything you do. you know, and it's just like kind of part of it. So
yeah. But you always have everyone's, I assume you're someone who always has, you know, everyone's best interest at heart, and hopefully everybody, you know, working together with their friends, if their friend has to make those decisions, can realize that they're making the best decision for the majority of the group, so that you all can continue to get a paycheck and buy skates.
Yeah, that's the team we have right now. Just
yeah,
it's like on board with like what we need. This is what we got going. You know what I mean?
No, that's awesome. Oh, it's so exciting. Addie, have you been to Pigeon Skate Shop?
I have once. Nice. And it was amazing. When was that? It was a few years ago. Like 2 years. I get lost in time with COVID and all that.
Yeah, right.
chapters. But yeah, I have been, and I love the shop. And then I remember seeing your guys' booth at RollerCon. I believe I talked to Drew. Super nice guy. Kudos to him. He makes amazing content. I don't have any other questions. I'm surprised I don't. I feel like you touched base on so much like great topics, and you're so good at explaining. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, no, it was really amazing having you on. Is there anything that you would like us to know? Anything about Pigeon Skate Shop that people, you know, aren't seeing or need to see more of?
Well, I mean, I myself am super passionate about small businesshood and entrepreneurship. So like a lot of the local skate shops, and not so local actually, now internationally, I've mentored people to open shops or open skate businesses. And so if anyone is listening who, I mean, I wouldn't recommend opening a skate shop now. Trust me.
No? Okay.
It is, the economy is odd. I mean, just for reference, you know, that it went from, you know, maybe 17 sources of skates to like 117 sources of skates. And
yeah.
We have shops now closing down and skates going on wholesale clearance for cheaper than the shops can even get them. And there's just kind of a whole shift in the industry where the brands don't want the shops to kind of be there as the middlemen. They want to get the wholesale themselves. And that's just to keep them alive too, you know, but it's mm-hmm. not... But anyways, what I was getting to is any type of business, because skating is still popping, you know, just retail has changed where people are just going to go straight to the brand, you know, but business is still a way for people to express themselves and to make a living. And if anyone is listening and they want advice on starting a business, I know a lot of information about paperwork. There is a lot of paperwork, and depending on your state and your country, but also like the things we talked about, the hard stuff and the mental stuff. And I'm not perfect, you know, but I am constantly growing and constantly learning, and I can help get you, you know, a little bit on that track and be a peer. Because what I can tell you about being a small business owner is that it's quite lonely, because there's not that many other small business owners, you know, and having peers is just invaluable, you know. So well, small businesses are all different too, so it's like, yeah, I know someone who owns a coffee shop, but she can't really help me with the foot problems we're seeing here, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like just saying, I'm available if anyone wants to have a resource, as somebody who had no experience and kind of just figured it out through my passions on my own, and for the love of skating and the love of making a life out of skating, and keeping, you know, as many employees as I can doing the same.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and definitely would encourage anybody thinking about anything to absolutely take Pigeon seriously and take that opportunity. That's huge. People would pay money for that. You know, maybe you got to make a master class. I'm seeing a master class, a little TED talk, something like that. I think you'd be really good at that. No, that's fantastic. Like I said, you've been at the forefront of so much over the years within the skating community, and I just am so happy you're still around and you're still doing what you love and you still have new things coming up all the time. And I mean, I only live like a 2-day drive away, but it's a little far. I wish I could come more often, but I really want to make it down your way one day. And I, as somebody who tries to build the roller skate community within my own community, which is smaller. We don't have the population that you guys have to pull from. You're definitely somebody that I've been looking up to, and I look to continue to look up to and see what's going on and draw inspiration from. So thank you so much. thank you so much for everything that you do. And everybody, please, if you are in the Long Beach area, go check out Pigeon's Roller Skate Shop. Follow them on all the socials. Give them the love that they absolutely deserve. And go attend some events and go get to the roller rink before it's gone.
Yeah, come check out our rink. And skate moms, if you're out there, hit me up.
Yeah,
skate moms out here, so like, what's up, where y'all at?
Okay, yeah, we need some more skate moms in Long Beach. Cool, well, thank you again so much for being here. Like I said, it's been amazing. We were both on a high all day waiting to talk to you, so we just really appreciate you taking the time, because we know you have very little of it and you're very busy, so we really, really do appreciate you being here.
Anytime. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks. We'll talk again soon.